Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Say it up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
Definitely. It's been too long.
Listen, we want to thank everyone that has tuned in tonight. We know we've been gone for a few weeks,
And we're going to get into all the reasons why we've been going. We're going to talk about everything. But first,
well, if they're our Facebook friends, they should already know. But
well, we have learned that not everybody reads everything on Facebook when you got people saying
that,
how your mom's doing. But we'll
true.
Get to that in a second. I just want to first and foremost, before we go any further, I want to say the song that is our introduction to the show is so on point, because when it says we've been through so much, but we're together, that is exactly the epitome of our relationship. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how many lows. I don't care how many highs. Nothing is going to separate what we do as a couple. No matter what tragedies, no matter what goes on, that's not going to change who we are, what we do. So if anybody thought while that break that we weren't coming back, listen, we were going to be back, and here we are. So first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for allowing us to get through everything as we deal with everything that's going on. And without Him, nothing is possible. So first and foremost, let me thank the Lord for allowing us to even be back here to do this. Second, I want to thank Rich and Lavina for holding us down and understanding what we were going through and allowing us to take this hiatus. So shout out to GQ Palace, shout out to Rich, and shout out to Lavina for being outstanding people behind the scenes. Those are the folks that you don't see. And yes, sir. But when you have great folks who do what they do and are passionate about what they do, but also understand that sometimes real life gets into the way of the things that we do. And so this is what it is. I wanted to send a special shout out to them. But let's get into what we do. Honey, how's been your month? How's been your month, baby doll?
Well, my month has, you know, it's had its highs and lows, but
yeah.
I'm getting back on point. I'm getting back on track. I'm back to work. And I'm actually enjoying it. I'm enjoying being back to work. I only took a week off after the passing of my mom on the 4th. I only took a week off, and that was one of the longest weeks. Oh, my goodness. I was ready to go back to work like two days after, because
I'm bored.
I don't understand how people do it. I don't understand how people stay home and just do nothing all day long. That is just not me. I can't. My coworkers miss me. I miss my coworkers. And I was ready to go back to work. I said, you know what? I'm not going to jump into it too fast. Let me take my time. And once I was back, it was, you know, work as usual. So.
Okay, okay. So what else has been going on? Just, you know, everything else has been just status quo? Memorial coming up on Saturday. You want to tell them about that?
Yes, we do have the memorial coming up on Saturday. My brother and I, we decided not to have a funeral because we don't see it as a sad occasion with my mother passing. We actually see it as a celebration of life. And we decided that what we would do was get our friends and family together and throw a party, because that's what my mother would have wanted. She was a party type. She was always partying. She liked to have fun. She liked to dance. She liked music. And she actually used to tell us that when she went, she didn't want us to be sad. And it wasn't something that we often talk about. And it's funny because one of my cousins, she said, well, you know, with the final arrangements, what did your mother want? I said, you know, you can't even ask me that, because if you would have asked my mother, she would have told you, oh, I love this forever. That was my mother's spirit. So she knew that we were okay, and she didn't want us to be sad. So we decided we're going to have a DJ on Saturday. It's going to be at the Harvest Room in Queens, and we're going to have our friends and family together. We have a friend that's DJing. We have a friend that's doing the catering. Like, a lot of our friends, when I went to them, I said, you know, this is what I wanted to do. They really stepped up and said, you know, they would help make it happen. So I'm really happy about that.
At a cost.
What happened?
At a cost. There's no free ride in the world.
You know, the thing is, you know, you say it, of course. I don't expect, even under the circumstances, I don't expect anybody to do anything for free. I'm not that type of black person.
Exactly. We ain't taking handouts, man. We pay our way.
Most of our friends have their independent businesses just like we do. So I expect to pay, of course, for the services that are provided to me. But the idea is that when I contact them, they, you know, some of them cleared their schedule. Some of them, you know, say, you know what, I have other things I was supposed to do, but I'll be there for you. Even if I have to pay for it, that's not even a problem for me, because I pay, because, you know, it's worth it. We deal with quality
people.
Supposed
to be. Now, what's the, right. What's the address?
The address for the Harvest Room is 90-40 160th Street. That's in Jamaica. It's actually between Jamaica Avenue and 90th. And it's...
There's parking.
There's parking next door.
In the parking lot.
There's easy access to public transportation. The J or Z train will let you off.
You might not be running. And if it's a weekend, the J may not be running. But
actually,
if
the J and Z, they usually what happens, they have
shuttles.
They
run on the weekend?
Yeah, they run on the weekend. They have shuttles, and they do come. The shuttles are like part of the train line, but they do come all the way to Queens, where you would get off to get to the Harvest Room. And the Harvest Room is only about 2 blocks away from the train station. So,
or you can take the Long Island Railroad. You can take the Long Island Railroad to Supton, walk up 1 block to Jamaica Avenue, catch the bus going down Jamaica Avenue. I believe it's the 52 or the 54. It'll drop you off right at 160th Street. So don't give us that traveling as an excuse. It's catered, so we have a real chef. We don't have mama or grandmama or uncle or Sammy or some dude that was going down the block cooking food
in
the back.
The family's not doing potluck. We actually...
Yeah, not, yeah. Greens with too much pepper. We got a real chef. We got a real chef doing the thing, and we got a real DJ. Even though they're friends, we still want the professionals because we want to make sure things are done correctly. So come on out and at least show your support. And if you just want to say your condolences, come on out and grab something to eat. And let us see your face. It is what it is. So, all monetary donations are gladly accepted. Thank you.
Of course, you would throw that in.
You can always say you start with a little paper.
And the reality is, don't come with the idea that we're mourning. We're actually celebrating. So, if you happen to see me on the dance floor with my now bigger belly, don't even look at me strange. Don't be giving me the side eye, because when I hear music, I like to dance. So.
If you do want to come and say something about her mom, we're limited to you to 3 minutes. You cannot throw yourself onto the picture, onto the floor, or anything of that nature. We don't want to tell anybody how to grieve, but we are going to keep the time limit on your grieving. So
and
you have about 3 minutes
to
get it in, and then go sit down and cry in your seat. So what else has been going on, darling?
Other than getting our new apartment in order, that's been a feat because, you know, with everything going on, it's coming along, and I'm excited. I'm finally happy to be in our own place and be comfortable, and I actually like our neighborhood. Our building is so diverse. We have, oh my goodness, we have an interracial couple, we have... the Latino on the down the hall. We have the Jewish woman next door to us. I just love, and that's one of the things I love about living in New York City, is the cultural diversity. I love it. So I'm happy about that. We live in the area we live in is really quiet. So I'm thankful for that also. We haven't had any craziness going on. But other than that, things have been cool. Oh, also, for those listening, I am looking for a different type of career work. there's some structure, reconstruction changes going on the job, and I'm trying to beat the clock, sort of, before they make any changes that might affect me and get into a position that I can feel secure with. So if anyone is listening and they have or know about job openings, please feel free to contact me on Facebook or at my email address, TiffanyBraxtonBelvin@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There it is. There it is. There it is right there. That is what's up. Now, anything else going on, baby girl?
How have you been?
I'm par for the course. My job is to hold you and my mother up through these difficult times with my grandmother passing and your mom passing. I don't think I got time to feel any particular way. It's all about business for me, as usual. Actually, I'm good. I realized this week I am done as a teacher. My educational career has pretty much come to a halt. I used to love it. Now I like it. And a part of me feels like I'm doing it just because I got responsibility, which is what I said. I never wanted to stay in the game long enough to get to that point where I became one of them cantankerous type teachers. But it's actually the kids that keep me going. And so, but I'm really tired. I'm looking to change fields. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to sit down and plan. The story that I wrote for this book, it looks like the book is going to get pushed back until January. So I was expecting a November release. So it looks like we're going to move things back. But, you know, I'm
now that's with another publisher, though, right? That's not with us.
Yeah, that's another publisher. But, you know, it's supposed to be a Christian fiction anthology that we're working on. And, you know, just waiting for it to come out. There's some things I want to do with the story going forward, which I still may do. I got some information today about being part of another project that's coming out. So, as I said before, I'm working on my writing. I went the route of trying to help a lot of folks with their work, and it's kind of blew up in my face. So now I'm going to exercise my talent and push myself forward. Not that I'm neglecting anybody else, but I think I have been neglecting myself. So I believe it's time to do those things. And that's really it. I mean, in working on my health, you know, I've been fasting the last couple of days, kind of broke that today. But I needed the clarity. And actually, if anybody doesn't realize, when you fast, it allows you to place your mind in other places. And I got some things from the Lord that I needed, and I'm not done yet. And so once I can get past this weekend, and we can find out what the avocado, and when you hear me mention an avocado, I'm talking about the baby, because Tiff has told me that the baby is about the size of an avocado. And so I've been saying that quite frequently. But for, Saturday morning, before all the festivities, we're going to go to the doctor, and hopefully we'll get some good news that we can actually tell what the sex of the baby is going to be. And I'm excited by that. So, you know. And other than that, I'm trying to work hard. I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to get things together to make this move to Delaware possible. I've connected with some new folks that I'm networking with. I've started to build my Twitter following as well as the people that I'm following on Twitter. I have found a diverse group of individuals that I have been networking with, and actually from all around the world, from Milan to other places in Europe to the Middle East. And it's been interesting because I'm trying to do more than just be an author and be a business owner. I want to do a little bit more than what I have. And what I've been saying for the last couple of months, if you want more, you have to do more. So that's actually what I've been doing. Also, I'm just trying to figure out where the Lord wants me to go. My baptismal class is this coming Sunday, and then I'll find out when I'm going to be baptized. I'm still going forward with that because...
Then we can have a celebration for that, too. We can have a baptismal celebration.
That's fine. I mean, I'm just trying to put myself in a position where I can do more with what the Lord has given me. And like I said, if you want more, you got to do more. And so I'm trying to do more for the kingdom, with individuals in the kingdom, and I'm trying to build more for the kingdom so people can actually benefit from it and have faith in those that they're dealing with. So I'm on my grind. I am really on my grind. I'm trying to do my thing at school. I want to help the principal that I'm working with get to where she's trying to get to school, and I'm going to do what I can to help her do that. I just found out one of my former principals is no longer in position at the school that she was at. And I find it interesting that the five people that I've worked at in the past where I've had problems with the principals, they're no longer working, and here I am still going strong. So there's something to be said about the Lord, and don't ever feel that people that are in position above you have power over you if you have faith. And so I've always kept my faith in the Lord, and as well as I've always kept myself professional. And I think that's something that you have to learn, is that regardless of what's going on around you, no matter what is being done to you, remain professional. Know what's happening. Write things down. Send them. And in the end, the Lord will make sure things work out for the best. So, and that's really it. And I'm excited to be back on the air. I really am. I felt that you needed it. I felt that we needed it. I know I wanted to do it last week, but I know she wasn't ready. And I just felt
you wanted to do it before last week. Let's be
okay, clear. I did it the week of, and like, yeah, she got it yesterday. One day, yeah.
You wanted to jump right back on the horse. Come on, let's go.
I'm not yesterday. We on the air right now, breathing it through. And I know y'all thinking, oh, how could he be so cruel and joke like that? First of all, if y'all don't know me by now, yes, I have a sense of humor that is, whew, how would you explain it, darling?
It's unique.
So, yes.
But you know what? I needed that sense of humor, especially during this time. And I know people might think it's morbid. I'm going to tell a joke because it's funny to me. But when we learned that my mother passed, she was actually found in her car. And I'm not going to go into the details about, you know, what that was. But, of course, her car in my grandmother's house is down the street from a really big hospital here in New York. So, of course, people going back and forth, the doctors, the nurses, it becomes the topic of discussion. You know, I work in a healthcare facility, so when something happens, like something serious like that, to find a body in a car, people talk. So, of course, people come from the hospital, come down to look at the car, make comments, what happened, was there a murder, was there a suicide, you know, and I'm sitting here already distressed and emotional, but Keith made it funny because with the people that would come down, he started making jokes, and two women happened to be coming by, talking, making comments and everything, and he said, is she still sleeping? They said yes. And I know it might sound morbid to people, but I needed that type of humor in the circumstances. So that's his humor.
Yeah. The lady said sleeping. I thought she was dead. I said, yeah, she is. Anyway. Yeah. Because it was just rattling off with the mouth and not realizing that often with people's curiosities, they don't stop and think that you may be offending someone who's now dealing with that tragedy or with that. And sometimes you have to keep your curiosities to yourself. You know, you see a person sitting on a steps in the middle of the day crying, to turn around and go, who's dead in the car? I mean, come on, could you just stick the knife in any deeper? So I was like, her mom. Oh my God. Oh yeah, now you want to pray? Yeah, okay. But yes, that is my sense of humor is what it is. But I make what can be considered off-color jokes, but my purpose behind it is to just say something that's going to grab your attention, which I know is going to take your mind off of the moment. So I'm like that all the time. So anybody listen, this is what we do. This is how we do it. But, you know, we got 7 minutes before the end of this half, baby doll. You got any news you want to talk about? Because if not, I definitely want to talk about one thing in the news particular, but go ahead if you have any news that you want to discuss.
Well, you know, it's been so much craziness going on. You know, we had the shooting in the mall in Kenya. Then we actually, here in New York,
Kenya,
had,
you mean in Long Island?
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Oh,
we had a shooting in one of our, well, not in the mall, but right outside one of our malls here in New York, in Long Island, where a disgruntled employee shot his boss. I believe the boss survived, but he also shot... Right, he shot a coworker, and the coworker died. Now, I haven't heard an update.
Why you
got to
be friends with people at work? Why you got to be cordial with people at work? Keep being nasty.
You know, I say that all the time. And
keep being nasty.
We talk about that all the time, especially on my job, because administration seems to be oblivious. Like, they live in their own little circle, and they seem to be oblivious with the reality of society, with some of the things that they do. And I always say, it would be a scary thing if someone ever came up here disgruntled, because I can just see it happening, from not paying people on time to deducting hours that don't need to be deducted, sort of just treating people really inhumane. And sometimes those are the things that set people off. We live in a current time where financially, economically, people are facing hard times. And you have to show a little bit more compassion. And I don't know the circumstances of why this employee decided to go to his job and shoot it up, but it's something that we all need to think about how we treat each other. So,
also,
I mean, it's really sad.
Also, you need to learn about being all up the boss's booty. You know, you want to be the kid's booty, you want to run back, let folks know, you want to be the snitch, whatever. Be careful, because when that cat come back up in there, you getting it too. So,
right.
Be very careful, because you let your little position go to your head, because when Sun Young shot, whatever his name is,
yeah.
When he run up in there, you know, and let you have it. Now, I'm not rooting for anyone to get murdered. I'm not celebrating the fact that someone got murdered. What I am saying and trying to say is be very careful, because you never know what someone's mental state is in these current times. People are suffering. People are hurting. And when you start to, and we don't know of what, we don't know what is going on in the world, but we do know that there's just not as much money out there as it used to be. And people are hurting all over. And you don't know what caused that man to pick up a gun and charge into a public place and shoot somebody. You just don't know. And the blessing through that, if there is any blessing, is that he didn't decide to open up and just start killing other people, because he could have. The mall was right next door, and we have to look at things like that. Now, I hope that they find him. I hope that they get him help. But, you know, here in New York, it's shoot first, get you help later. So we may not see any more from him if they catch him.
Think about also the guy in the Navy Yard. He killed 10 people. I mean, it's getting really, really crazy. And they're starting to believe that, you know, he had mental issues. You don't know what his situation is.
I don't believe that. Let me stop right there. They're saying he had mental issues. And you and I have talked about this before. I got a problem with the fact that y'all allowed him into the Navy. Y'all taught this man how to use weapons. You taught this man how to kill. You gave this man access to all these different things. He loses his mind, decides to start killing people. Now you want to flood the newspapers, flood the news with all these stories about how he played video games for hours, that was crazy, how he did this and he was crazy, how his brain wasn't functioning right. But how the hell did he get into the Navy? And why did you let him in? How you didn't do all these psychological background checks? Because I think sometimes these folks are allowed in with these problems because they have special things that they have designed for them. Because I don't care what you say, to drop somebody into a forward environment, what I mean forward is an environment where there's fighting going on, and then say, I need you to kill everything moving that doesn't dress or look like you, that takes a special mindset. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I could do it. I didn't think I could do it. That's why I didn't sign up. I respect every brother and sister that puts on a uniform, whether it's a policeman uniform, soldier uniform, whatever. But for someone to enlist you, someone to take you in, teach you how to kill, and then say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Yo, not everybody is going to be wired the right way. So I'm not trying to repeat what they say he was, because my question is, why'd you let him in? And how come you let him in? So, you know, and it's a tragedy. Anytime multiple people get killed when they weren't doing anything but just doing their thing, their job,
they
whatever.
Going to work.
Exactly. And you got to be mindful of that. And you know what? I'm a sneak in a religious tip. This is why we got to pray to the Lord every day. This is why every night we got to thank him and say our prayers, because you know what? You don't know what the last day is going to look like, what it's going to be like. And going back to Tiff's mom, maybe she knew, maybe she didn't. But either way, this is why you got to thank the Lord and ask him to give you anything that's wrong when you have the chance, because you may not get that chance with the next one that you're going to make. So we're not going to try to keep the show morbid. I'm just saying it is what it is. I'll tell you what, baby doll, it is 8:30. Let's take our first break, get warmed up, get right into what we're going to talk about. When we come back, we're going to let folks know what the theme of the show is. Has to do with your in-laws, has to do with your mamas and your grandmamas and your fathers that don't know how to stay out of your relationship. We're going to talk a little something about that when we come back. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. If you're tuned in from the website, you can call in at 646-200-3838. If you want to speak to Tiff and I, just call in to speak to the host and let them know that you have something to say. We're going to do what we normally do. We're going to take a two-song break, and we're going to get right back to the fun. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, we are back. Be back in.
I've become void.
Watch road.
It's a remix. It's gonna be a beautiful night.
CISA, it's Tiffa and Nico.
I got the champagne. Everybody get blasted.
Champagne day, big boat night.
Let's start it off sexy. What do you say?
A lot of Jamaican flavor.
And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life. Where trouble is a bubble in a champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gon' do it like this.
Share my love with you. Oh, baby, I just want again. Oh no, I just wanna share my love.
Together,
populate,
yeah. Make a world better,
populate,
yeah. Oh, I just wanna share my love with you, babe. I just wanna share my love, all I wanna do.
I wanna share my love, share my love, share my love with you.
Welcome back. Share my love with you. That's why I don't sing. Anyway, this is KL Belvin, and that is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and you are listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. Call in number 646-200-3838 if you'd like to speak to the host to get in to say something to us. We welcome it. The lines are open. Feel free to call in and just say whatever, because right now we're just dipping our feet in the water and just kind of kicking around like little kids. We're just happy to be on the air, and we're going to continue the conversation we were having earlier about the news. But one of the things tonight that we're going to talk about is parents, grandparents, whoever, that seem to overstep their boundaries in relationships. Mothers that don't know how to let their sons be sons, and fathers who are so overprotective of their daughters they don't want them to be whatever, or grandparents who seem to meddle or seem to not know their place. And it is very important that you understand the damage that that can do or how to deal with that. And so before we get into that, we're going to just finish up with anything else in the news, baby doll, that you wanted to bring to the table.
No, not really.
You know, it's funny because, you know, when you look at it, it just seems like there's so much negativity in the news today that you try to look for quality stories, you try to look for some things that are positive. You know, there are many, but the reason why they're not talked about is because sensationalism seems to connect itself to all the things negative. People seem to respond when a Lamborghini is tore apart on the highway, or when somebody's ran over, compared to a kid doing well in school, or someone saving a life or whatever. So, you know,
sensationalism sells.
Yeah, true. Sex, you know, sex and other things sell. It catches your attention. I did see the guy who saved the woman's life was fired from his job, the plumber, where he had seen a woman. Yeah, a woman got, let me get this right. The woman was hit by a car, and her leg was severely damaged. I want to say it was even amputated, but I think it was severely damaged. He made a tourniquet and basically stopped the bleeding and basically saved her life. And so, of course, he's been doing different interviews, things like that, whatever. Well, it turns out that the company that he works for fired him. They said it was basically because he wasn't getting work done and stuff like that. He said it's because time was being taken away to do interviews and stuff like that, which was bringing attention to the company, but he just felt that they didn't like him and they let him go. So now he was out of work. And the woman, and actually she was hit by a cat. So the woman is
oh, that was the girl that, it was her first, That was here in New York. It was her first day. She was on vacation during the summertime. It was her first day in New York, and she was hit by a cab. I remember that story.
And so now they're pushing that the cab driver should get life or something like that, whatever the situation is. And then I watched the news the other day. Like I said, I hate that it seems like to be only the morbid stories. But the young man who was fleeing from the police that killed the little girl. Now, I'm watching him as they have him in court. I guess they told him that he's getting life or something close to that. Or no, I think it's 5 to 10 years, but they're trying to change the sentence to something longer. And have you seen the look on his face? Like, he's terrified. Bruh, you killed the little girl. Trying to evade the police.
You hit him with his car?
Hit him with the car. So now you're going to be in court, and you're going to jump up. And I want to say another word, but I'm going to be polite. You want to act like a chick, but, you know, a female dog is what I really want to say. But anyway, it's like, hold on. If you was man enough to hit the accelerator, man enough you want to flee from the police, and you committed another crime that's not going to cost your life, you gave that away. Do your thing. Hold that time. And if you and some dude named Bubba got a roll for it, yo, man, bite that pillow.
You know what? I always say sorry does not make it better. And I think so many times people do things not thinking because that's what they want to do. It's my life and I'm going to live it. And they act reckless. And then they hurt somebody really badly or they kill someone. And then they want to say sorry. You can't make up everything with sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sorry doesn't heal anything. But forgiveness has to come from the person who was hurt. But that's their choice. Now, the hope is that, you know, they can find it in their heart to forgive. But, you know what, laws are in place for a reason. And so it is what it is. And if you have to deal what you have to deal with, then so be it. But on to tonight's subject. It's parents that just don't know how to play their position. You know, I was talking to some coworkers earlier, actually last week, because I thought we were going to be on last week. And I have to honestly say, when she was explaining how the grandmother of her children doesn't know how to play her position because she actually aids in the son's life. It just really caught my attention because it made me start thinking, is how many other parents are out there engaging their children, grown children, we're not talking about babies now, grown children in ways that don't allow them to have healthy relationships. And it's sad that, and I'm not even going to make it a color issue, I'm just going to say it's sad that so many people can't see the damage of not being able to cleave. And yes, cleave means to just carve away from your children when they've made those moves and they are considered adults. There's no way at 20, 30 years old you should hear his mother, his grandmother, her mother, her friend. Come on, stop.
You know, it's funny because I have a colleague who is very, and I have to say, too involved in her adult children's lives. And two of her children are married. One is divorced. Her husband actually left her. And the other child, she has four, the other child, he's in the process of getting married. He just got engaged. And when I tell you, this colleague, and we sit back and we think about it and we listen to some of the phone calls because her family calls all day long. It's like they're so dependent. Although they're supposed to be independent adults with their own children and spouses, they seem to be so dependent on her.
They've been raised that way. You know, what do you expect?
I think she forces that. And she'll complain, but she doesn't do anything to make it different. Because she does the school supply shopping. She does the clothing, you know, buying the clothes for school.
And how old are we talking, though?
Her adult kids?
Yeah.
They're in their 30s.
30s. And so she's still known as the 30-year-old individual.
Yeah, and her her youngest, he's 23. He's about to get married. And it's the same thing. It's so funny because I have to tell the story that the 23-year-old, when he was dating, he wanted to take a young lady on a date, and she wanted to know about the bowling alley. So everyone knows that KL and I bowl. We bowl every week. And she asked me about bowling alleys in the area. So I was explaining to her, they actually wanted to come to the bowling alley where we bowl, but there were leaves going on at the time that they wanted to come, so they had to choose another bowling alley. Well, instead of my coworker allowing her grown son to call around the, you know, bowling alleys to go to take his date, she sat on the phone at work calling bowling alleys to see when they would be available, how much they cost, like all the details so that she can call and relay that information to him. And I'm thinking, who does that? How crazy is that? That you're going to arrange the date for him? Let him do it. He's a grown man. And it's so bad that when she first talked about him, I thought he was 14, 15, 16. I didn't realize that he was a 23-year-old man that she was doing this for. It just, it's amazing how intrusive she is on her children's lives, and she doesn't even realize it.
Well, you know, it goes on, because I think in many cultures, families just don't know how to step back and get out the way. And the crazy part is, you try to explain to them the damage that they're doing, and, you know, they hold on to it. God bless her soul. My grandmother, you know, I would say to her, she would always remind me, I raised X amount of kids, I did this, I did that. And I would say, but Grandma, how long ago was that? And there's just certain things you can't do, or there's certain things you can't allow to happen. But in her mind, she felt she was doing the right thing, so she would continue to do it. And I know you and I just had a conversation this morning about, you know, the role that certain, in this case, grandparents, certain role that parents play that can't see certain things, can't understand that certain things is not the way it should be. And I think that's something that folks need to understand too, is that you need to pay attention to those signs. You need to be able to look at, or when you're listening to someone, when they're having a conversation with their significant other, pay attention to that. Listen to how they're having a conversation, because you'll be able to pick some things up. Now, you may not be able to hear what's going on the other end of the phone, but when they're together, look at how they interact with each other. Is the parent interacting with the adult child like a child? Because if they are, understand that that's going to come into play in your relationship.
Absolutely.
Is he or she leaning on certain aspects? And let me tell you something. This is one thing that Tiff and I know very well, because I had to force my way in between Tiff and her mother. Now, I don't have no problem talking about it because she's not here. Listen, she's not here, so I'm telling the truth. Because I knew how much Tiff... Well, listen, she's gone. Hey, if she come back, I'm scared of death. Woof. So, yeah, if she come back, I'd be really tough. But anyway, I knew, because I could see that there was a problem with the way Tiff's mom would do things with Tiff, and then I also saw there was a problem with the way the grandmother would attempt to do things. So my job, trying to be her significant other at the time, was to point it out. But I was very careful in playing my position so I didn't overstep my boundaries as the relationship was growing, because it made no sense if early in the relationship I was like, yo, you need to because then I get chucked to the curb. So, but as the relationship grew, I slowly put my stamp on certain things that I knew was going to be a problem when we got married. Now, the catch was, once we got married, once we married now, one of the first things I said is, you can't do X, Y, and Z. Yes, ladies, I said to my wife, you can't do. He ain't going to tell me. Calm down. My job as the husband is to protect my wife.
One thing I do want to say is, there was never a time where KL was disrespectful in the way he approached certain topics. He just allowed me to see things from a different perspective. Because when you go from living with your parents to living with your spouse, it's a different transition. Like, I didn't, you know, like most adults, I didn't go from living with my parents, living on my own, to dating, to this time with this guy, that guy. I dated, but I literally went from being in my parents' house to being in my husband's house. So I had to learn how to be independent
Mom. Other way around. You went from being in your parents' house to, well, you started a home before I got there.
True.
Because remember, in 2004, I was in Puerto Rico when your mother and you moved in, and your mom and you lived together after y'all sold the house.
But my mom was still there. So.
Yeah, exactly. So we had to kick her out. But what I'm saying is it went from living in your own house to now living in an apartment. And then eventually it was, okay, now my boyfriend, soon-to-be husband, is coming, so now you got to go. That's the thing, is that, you went from having your house to having the apartment. But I think what happens is folks need to pay attention to that. Because even with that being the case, her mother was reluctant in backing off. And so she still continued to keep things the way she wanted it because it was what was comfortable to her. I had to more so let Tiff know there's just certain things that was going to be unacceptable in the marriage. So you're going to have to stop doing certain things with your mother because it's taken away from the marriage. And sometimes the significant other who has themselves together, who's not affected by the other parent, has to say something. Now, the difficulty is when your significant other refuses to see the damage, or actually rely on that platform, that cushion that's there. That's the danger. And that might be a deal breaker when it's all said and done, because I went through that with my first wife. When we were living in her mother's house, she always had the out because she could just go into her mother's room and mom's is going to be like, all right, cool, and close the door. So we could be in the midst of an argument and she always had a trap door to jump through. So I was always at a disadvantage, and plus mom would, have her say and sometimes even overstep her boundaries and say some things that wasn't her place to. But you know what? She would always remind me we were in her house. So the idea then was to get our own apartment, which we did. And even then, when she would come over, she would still have something to say.
See, that's a problem also, because one thing I can say is that my mother was never intrusive on our relationship. Is that the issues that we had was actually my relationship with my mother and trying to exert my independence as an adult. So it never really indirectly affected my relationship with KL, but not directly. My mother never was disrespectful to him or, said things that she shouldn't have said or anything like that. It was just that my relationship with my mother became, it was complicated. It was complicated to try to maintain a relationship where you're now becoming someone's spouse and coming away from being someone's daughter. And eventually, I have to say that my mother started to understand and started to accept the circumstances. And I have to say also that living with my in-laws for 5 years, because KL and I lived with his grandmother and mother for 5 years, we also didn't have an issue there. It was never a direct any comments or anything regarding our relationship on what I should be as a wife, or it wasn't like that at all. And I was thankful
for that.
But
at times they forgot that we were married and kind of just almost act like we wasn't even there at times. So in that particular case, it wasn't so much them siding with me. It was more like them just doing what they want while we're inside the house, as if we're not paying rent. And that's an issue too. But you also have to remember that when you place yourself in someone else's space, you're going to have to deal with certain foolishness. Now, that's a little bit off the topic tonight, so we can definitely go into that another night. But I definitely want folks to understand is that you have to look at your relationship as it is, not as you want it. Now, how you want it is the end goal. How you want it to be is the end goal. The first thing is to look at your relationship where it is. Look at it right here, right now. What is going on that is making you unhappy? What's your role in it? What's his or her role in it? And then what role is their parents playing in it? Grandparents, whoever. Because you have to strategically figure out how you're going to change this, or if it's even changeable. You can't do that if you're all over the place. So you have to be very strategic in it. Now, it may sound like a lot of energy, but if the relationship is worth having, if there's children involved and you're trying to make a peaceful coexistence for you and your children, this is something to work on. The first thing I would say to any couple is get your own space.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you that because I don't even care. I don't care if it's the raggediest, smallest, dingiest space. As long as it is yours, you always have the ultimate Martin line, get the hell out. And understand what role that plays is that when you are paying the rent, when you are paying the bills, you have that luxury saying, get out. And you need that because the two of you have to build together.
Right.
Argue together. You have to make up together. That can't happen if there's a side advocate. It can't help it if he or she has a corner man. No, hit him to the right, hit him to the left. No, doesn't work. Doesn't work if they have a trap door that they can run to. Mom, dad, listen, because now you're being ganged up on.
Right.
You know, even the toughest person is going to give in, and you just let it happen, which should never happen. But it will because you're human. And a human body gets tired.
One thing I always said, in the circumstances of KL and I living with my in-laws, it was, you know, circumstance where we moved into the house to help take care of his mom when she got sick. And, you know, it just worked out for everyone. It wasn't where, something I don't understand, and I've heard friends go through it, coworkers, you know, I don't understand. Okay, we're in love, we're going to get married, but we don't have any place to live. To me, you should have your own space. You should not fall in love, get married, and say, okay, I have to live with my parents. Because to me, it's just setting you up for failure. I don't know any marriage that started off like that that actually worked. Because
ours. No, did we get married? No, we was by ourselves.
When we got married, we had our own place.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
It can work if in that time you're going to school or your plan is to gain certain things as necessary. So it can work if you do that. But the key is have an out. It's not to stay there to live on a regular. Have an out. Be there while you're in school because the rent is inexpensive. But once you get the degree, get out. Once you get the new job, get out. Once the parent gets healthy again and up on their feet, get out.
Right.
Can't stay. Go ahead, baby doll.
No, but I was agreeing with you. But I just think that before you get married, you should be you should be somewhat established. It shouldn't be where you're moving in with your parents, with your spouse. That's my personal feeling. Like, you should have your own. As a couple, my personal belief is I don't think that you should get married and not have your own place. Because it sets you up to be in a situation where people feel, oh, you live here under my roof, and that's my son or that's my daughter, and having a true side. You know, KL and I used to get into arguments often. And never a time did his grandmother open the door to give her 2 cents. You know, it's funny because I even remember a time when we were dating, and we were actually playing. Kale, he likes to play. He's like a clown sometimes. And
what?
Yes, he's a clown. And we were downstairs. My mom was upstairs. And he was doing something. He was annoying me really bad. And I yelled at him, will you stop? And I smacked my hand on his his back, and it made a really loud noise. And then all of a sudden, I heard this running across the floor, and my husband and I looked at each other, and we bust out laughing, and then the running stopped. When my mother heard the smack, she thought when I said, K.O., stop, that we were fighting. And she was about to come downstairs, and then when she heard us laughing, she stopped.
You got it, too.
But...
you know, they got a little stuff she ain't want.
But what was funny is, later on, she told me that, you know, she heard me, and she realized that we were playing. But she said she started running towards the door to come downstairs, and then she realized she didn't have any clothes on. So I'm thinking my...
I can't smack no nigga. I can smack a nigga woman all the time. Lord,
I was thinking, mommy, so you, I said, what are you going to do, run downstairs naked and do what? With no clothes on.
Right.
But we never had those instances. We could argue, have our own argument, and my mom might say something later if she overheard something, or probably Pale's grandmother, mother would say something to him later, but it was never where either one of our in-laws felt the need to put their two cents into our relationship.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you why that's the case when we come back from the break. I'm going to explain to you exactly why both parents on both sides didn't cross that boundary, and I'm going to tell you when we come back. It is 9 o'clock. You are listening to Reality and Relationships. We are on every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio, GQ Palace. Make sure if you want to call in or listen from your phone, if you happen to leave your computer, the number is 646-200-3838. We'll be back in two songs, and I'm going to tell you why her mom and my grandmother and everybody else didn't cross that line. We'll be back in two songs.
I don't know how. I want your cake and some of hers. I'm so selfish, girl. I know you're sick of all my games and my fools. I understand how you feel.
Nice, nice, nice. Very, very good musical set. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL Belvin, and my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, is there. Oh, man. So before we went on break, Tiffany was telling you, explaining to you how our families didn't cross certain boundaries, didn't poke their nose in certain things. There was a reason for that. So let me explain to you the reason. First of all, one of the things that must be established in a relationship, you can say the male should or the female should. I'm not going to really put a specific gender to this, but I do believe, in my personal opinion, I do believe that the male should establish certain things in his home. And my thing was, I was going to call out my grandmother, my mother, my sisters, Tiff's mom, whoever was going to overstep their boundaries in our relationship. And so I wasn't worried about hurting feelings, because if you're wrong, I'm going to check you. Now, what I might do to be polite is I'll say, Tiff, please talk to your mom, because, or I will, or I'll go talk to my grandmother, or I'll go talk to my mother, or I'll go talk to my sister, because I am not going to have anyone disrespect the relationship, stranger, friend, or family. Because even if you're living in someone's home, there are certain parameters that cannot be faded. They really can't. Because once you allow them to fade, once you allow someone to feel that they can say whatever, do whatever, simply because you're living in their house. Now, here's the key. If you are paying rent, they're not doing you a favor. Now, yes, they may have lowered the amount of rent that they could possibly have gotten from someone else, but if they're taking your money monthly and giving you grief if you don't have it at the time that they ask for it, well, then you are paying for the space that you have. You have right to say something. You have right to offer commentary to what's going on. Now, if they don't want to respect that for you, then you save your dollars that you're giving to them, find some extra dollars to go with it, and move out. Even if it means going to the shelter. Now, you may go to the shelter. KL, are you crazy? No, because you will be saving what you were giving them per month, put that in the bank, and you will have enough to eventually move into your own place. So either way, there is an out if you choose to use it. The key is, you don't have to accept foolishness just because. And if your significant other is gobbling that foolishness up, then it might be time to reevaluate the relationship.
I've heard of plenty of relationships, unfortunately, ending because the significant other could not understand their partner's feelings when it came to their in-laws. And
exactly.
In many cases, the in-laws were disrespectful and just downright nasty. And it's almost like the partner would turn a blind eye to the situation instead of addressing it. And one thing I have to say is Dale was always very good about how his family dealt with me. You know, his sisters and I had a situation years ago that had to resolve, but he made sure he stepped up front and said, listen, I'm not going to let it go down like that. There are some people that don't do it. It's like they're afraid, but they say, I hear this all the time, but we're family. This is my family. This is my sister, my mother, my brother. It doesn't matter if that person is disrespecting your spouse. You need to step up and say, listen, I can't accept that. And
man,
you need to make changes.
Listen, family, get it too. Stop that fool. First of all, if you are married, now listen here, church folks, because it seems like church folks be thumping harder than anybody else, crying out to God on Sunday, kicking somebody's behind on Tuesday. Listen up. If you in church every Saturday, every Sunday, every Friday night, synagogue, or you in temple, whatever, the idea is the Lord separated families on a regular. Just because someone was born with the same blood that you are, it means that you are biologically connected. It don't make you family, because family has similar, keywords, similar values, similar cultural concepts. So if y'all are in the house and y'all are feuding and y'all are hating each other, and just because you have the same blood is what's keeping you connected to each other, you are a fool. Because I have, and I taught this in class, you have biological family and you have gender-specific family. Ask my LGBT community. They'll tell you that they have the family that they were born into, and they have the family that they have adopted and understands their lifestyle. Now, I am not saying I agree with their lifestyle. I am giving you one of the terms that they use to understand who their real family is. And the reason why they turn to a family of folks who are not born of the same blood is because they understand the lifestyle choices that they make. Now, back to what I'm talking about. Is just because your brother is your brother, it does not give him the right to harm you, hurt you, or financially break you. If that mother or grandmother cannot stay on their side of the gate, then it is up to you to start to say to your significant other, hey, what's going on? And if they can't see or listen to you, you might need to reevaluate that relationship and say, you know what, me and the kids, or honey, I can't mess with you. Men too. Can't sit there and fight a war with your wife and her mom. Women, you can't sit there and fight with his mom and him, his father, and whatever, whoever it is. Those boundaries have to be set and agreed upon. How are you going to have a healthy relationship if somebody can keep walking into your foundation and altering its feeling?
It's a shame because I actually know the situation where a woman doesn't speak to her mother-in-law. She hasn't spoken to her mother-in-law in over a year. And all because the husband was afraid to tell his mom, you know what, shut up and mind your business. And you don't have to do it in that way. You can be a lot more respectful. But
yeah,
sometimes you just need to say something. Instead, and it's crazy because I remember she was telling me what was going on. And she took a trip with her family, and her mother-in-law went on a trip with them, and she decided she wanted to get her nails done. And the mother-in-law was making comments about why was she going to get a manicure and why would she spend money to do get her nails done, and just a whole lot of comments. She wanted to go walking because at the time she was, you know, on a health kick and she was trying to lose weight. The mother-in-law made comments about her walking. How come you spend so much time away from the house? And, you know, it was on and constant. I said, well, what was your husband saying during all this time? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you allow your mother to constantly barrage your wife with insults and attack her, and you don't step up to say, Mommy, that's not appropriate, and I don't want you to talk to my wife like that. I don't understand it.
Well, that's not a real relationship. That's not a real man or woman.
You say he's not a real man?
No, I'm dead serious. He's not a real man or a real wife. Because, you know what, there's certain things that you just can't accept. I'm sorry, a man's role is to protect his wife, just like a wife's role is to protect her husband in whatever form or fashion that she can, in whatever form or fashion that he can. And it's not a matter who makes the most money. The job is you protect your wife first. You protect no one. I don't care who it is, family, anyone, is supposed to harm your wife mentally, physically, or spiritually. You are supposed to be the protector of all that. So you can't cling to your moms and call yourself a real man to your wife. That's suspect to me. And I don't care who got a problem with it. Anybody listening, if you got a problem with what I said, press 1. Tell the host you want to say something and get on and say it. If you're listening on the computer and you want to say, hold on, KL, I got something to say, 646-200-3838, press 1 and let me know what you think. I'm sorry. That's not a real man. That's not a real woman. Because the relationship is supposed to have some type of peace and unity as part of the foundation, trust as part of the foundation. All of that is designed so you two grow together stronger, so that the two of you become so bonded, nothing can come between that except for God. And God's not going to come between that because he enjoys seeing his children in that type of unity. So he's actually going to wrap around you protection if you actually adhere to it. The problem is you got brothers sitting with their mouths closed because they soft. and they soft because their mom raised them to be soft. They that way because their fathers didn't come back and step into their lives and make them tougher. They ran off because they were soft. So we're going to deal with that a whole nother show. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm dead serious. Listen, let's keep it real. There's an outcome to poor unions creating babies. I know. I didn't write the book From Gigolo to Jesus. Yes, shameless plug. It's my show. I'll do what I want. But I didn't write my book From Gigolo to Jesus to talk about the problems that I had as a young man because I had such great foundation. I didn't. And so because I didn't, I went out and made a whole lot of foolish mistakes. Now, I love my children, but the environment that I created them in was wrong because I didn't have the foundation that I should have when I created them. Now, I'm taking care of them. I love them. They know who I am. But under the circumstances, that is not how you create children. So I was foolish in what I did. So any man that would lean on his mom, lean on his dad, lean on his sister, lean on anybody else over his wife is suspect. And if you got married in church and said to the Lord that this is who you're going to forsake all others, well, forsake doesn't mean just not humping. It means you're not going to allow nothing to happen to your wife. And if you allow anybody to disrespect your wife, you suspect. Get at me if you got a problem with that.
Tell them why you're mad.
No, I'm serious because, you know, there's so many soft dudes out here, man. I watch the television. I see soft men. I listen to music, and I'm hearing soft men. Listen, R&B singers of the past weren't soft. They were singing about the problems that they had, singing about what's going on in society, but they understood that, yo, you got to take care of your women somehow. Some of these guys now, it's just say whatever. This is your wife. You want to act whatever to your side piece? Not that I agree with it, but I can understand it. But your wife? And the crazy part is, dudes are so quick to be like, this is wifey. This is my main thing. This is, listen, you put a ring on her finger and you change her name. Y'all had children. And those children carry your name. Yeah, man. Grab your testicles, man, and grow a pair and do something, man.
Yeah.
Because this is the problem now. I see kids now, no respect. When I tell you I'm tired of teaching, that's part of it too. Is that, yo, I'm seeing 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds just disrespectful. Why? Because you can't even call home because no one's checking them. Well, if no one's checking them now, come on, man. What you think's going to happen when they get older? There's no reason for them to respect their significant other because no one even taught them how to respect at home.
True. It's true. I agree.
And it's just ridiculous. You got to put into place the things that you want to see happen. And mothers, and I'm going to get at the mothers for a second. Okay, the father did the dirt. You slept with him, whatever. Okay, I got that. Don't raise no soft dude. Raise that young man to be the man that you wish his father had been. So no other woman's got to put up with what you put up with. You want a scriptural reference? Go read Ruth. Her man died. She was bitter inside, but she did not pass that bitterness over to her mother-in-law. I mean, her daughter-in-law. She taught her daughter-in-law how to be more of a woman than she was and found a good man. And remember, her husband died too. Naomi was like, you know what? I could be real salty right now, but she realized that wasn't what a real woman is supposed to do. So what did she do as a mother-in-law? She taught her daughter-in-law what was the proper way to be. Her daughter-in-law had lost her husband too. So she lost her husband and her son. But what happened? She still taught the woman how to be a woman. And that woman eventually got a real good man. And you hear all these women out here talking about, I can't wait to find my Boaz. Where's my Boaz? Oh, man, I was about to say a curse word. Are you really a Ruth? Talking about being a Boaz. Are you really a Ruth? You might get Boaz's cousin, Bozo. You ain't gonna get Boaz. And if you have children, they got to know better. You know the crazy part is you can tell which children have been raised in a respectful home. I've been teaching 16 years for the Department of Education. You can tell which children have been raised in a respectful environment. You you don't even know if there's one or two parents there, but you can tell when they have been taught to respect their elders, respect people. And then when you meet their parents, you go, wow, you see it. And the minute you meet them, you understand it because you saw the reflection in the child. And that's a child that you've at least given a chance to be halfway decent in a relationship. You have to understand that we're the reason why things are the way they are. Just because Chip and I talk about it on a regular, just because our parents had environments that things just wasn't the proper environment to raise children in, we weren't going to allow that to be our case. Why do you think we share everything that's going on with our baby online? Because we want folks to see how we're doing.
We wanted to break the cycle, definitely. We wanted to show people that there are alternatives, that the relationships that our parents were in and the relationships that we were brought up in were not necessarily conducive, like Kale said, to raising children. But we definitely wanted to break the cycle because it just, to me, it didn't make sense for to have the same things happen over and over and over again. My grandmother was a single mother. My mother was a single mother and in poor relationships. KL's mother, poor relationships. It's just at some point you have to say, you know what, we need to change this.
You got to break that chain, man. You got to say, I'm not going to have that for mine. You know what's funny? And again, all my Christian folks, all my Bible thumpers, there's scriptural fact to that. Joshua said, I don't know about you, but in my home, this is how we're going to do it. So you got to understand that. Don't just look at your Bible and wave it around beating other people with it. Open it up and beat yourself with it. Beat yourself with it to the point that you can understand that everything that's in there, that you can apply it. Stop quoting scriptures when you don't actually know how to live them. Because if you actually pay attention to the various scriptures that's in there, you'll understand how to get your children in the right place, because then they'll make decent husbands and decent wives. When you see husband and wives arguing the way that they do in front of their children, what do you think those children are going to become? And moms and dads, when you give your child an out, when you give your child an out when they're in a relationship, you're not helping them. Sometimes the struggle is the learning. I tell kids all the time, Mr. B, how do you spell this? I'm not telling you. There it is, right there. Dictionary. Make it happen. Come on, Mr. B. No. If I tell you I didn't help you, find it. And they sitting there frustrated. You know what? The struggle is the learning. Because either you're going to figure it out or you're going to quit. But either way, you're going to learn something today. You're going to learn you can't do it, or you're going to learn you can. But I am not going to assist you to be stupid. And this is what parents have to understand. Let young couples figure it out. Take your hands back. Let them be what they're going to be. Let them raise their kids the way they want. And even if they're making mistakes, offer suggestions and then shut up and get out the way. Stop coming over their house. They really don't want you over that much. They really don't. I'm being real. Young couples? No. Young couples don't want their grandparents over that much. They want you to watch the kids if they have them so they can get it in. Do that. Bring the kids over all weekend. Word? Yes. Y'all can get it in from Friday to Monday. Come back and get them Sunday night. You like to laugh or tell the truth. Because the thing is, everybody wants to put their spin on. I say this all the time. Let's keep it real, guys. Your parent does not live, and even if they do live with you, they're not in the bedroom with you. They're not around you like that to a degree. So some of the things that they're going to miss, and they're going to be one-sided because they're going to listen to their child and see things slanted. Now, I've met some parents that keep it mutual, keep it even, and they'll call their son or daughter on it. But I'm talking about to those parents that aid in their children's foolishness. Like my coworker said that she called her man, and he said, my mother's sick. I'm going to go see my man, my mother. She said, okay, boo, no problem, cool. So, fine. So being a good woman, she decides to call the mother to say, I want you to get better. She called the mother and said, how you feeling? She's like, I'm feeling good. About to go to the car game. She's like, what? Well, you know, her man said you wasn't, you know, your son said you wasn't feeling well. Now I'm feeling good. So now, of course, the radar goes up. something's wrong. Now, she told me that she called her man and called the mom on the three-way so she can get to the bottom of what's going on. The minute that she did, the mother got on the phone and sounded like she was sick. Oh, well, you know, come on. Don't say that.
All of a sudden, it changed.
Exactly. And see, wow. For me, like, at that moment, relationship dead. Because if you're going to aid him that way, then where was he at? Why did he need to lie like that?
Right, right.
You know, this, and that's what doesn't make any sense. You know, it's crazy. But I'll tell you what, before we go any further, it's 9:30, because, you know, I get fast. But I got to get some water, because, you know, get a little tight about this. It's 9:30, guys. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. We hope that you're enjoying yourself. Now, we're going to come back after two song break. If you're listening and you want to call in 646-200-3838. Remember to press 1. The host will definitely take you in. We'd love to hear from you. And don't be scared. Listen, I rant and rave, but I definitely would love to talk. And like I said, we'll be back to bring this show home, because we're going to give you some things that we're going to be doing and some things that's going on and some ways that you can support the efforts at Tiff and I are up to when we come back. This is Reality Relationship. I am your host, K.L. Belvin. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We'll be back in song. Be right back.
Heard them so selfish, girl. I know you see.
take up all my games and my foot. I understand how you feel.
My word play. My word play. My word play. that word say. We dog, Lil B, we follow what the word say.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Oh, man.
Wordplay.
The foundation. Walker, Damian Brown, and Rodius P. out of South Carolina. And by Enterprisement Media Group, EMG. And, you know what? That song is everything good and bad about that project. The song is tremendous, the book is tremendous, the poets did a wonderful job, but they dropped the ball in really promoting themselves. It is a tremendous poetry book that we put out. And you know what, that leads us right into what we're going to finish up the show in case we have any new listeners tonight. If you don't know, Tiff and I own our own literary service production company called Bravin Publishing, B-R-A-V-I-N Publishing. And we produce titles for authors that have something to say, who want control of their work. We don't put out any urban fiction or erotica. We try to put out things with a strong message. And we did a yearly poetry series, and both books, Wordplay 1, the Words Are Our Canvas, and Wordplay 2, The Foundation of... poets. I happen to be one of them in book number one, and I felt both books were outstanding. Well, like anything in life, if you don't talk about it and people don't know about it, you can't sell it. And so I honestly believe that if folks take a look at what we're doing at Bravin Publishing, you're going to learn that we have some tremendous books. And right now we're having a sale on our books. And if you go to www.bravinpublishing.com, you will see that we're having a September sale, which I think I'm going to extend to October. I'm not sure. I may extend to October. Right now, you can get all of our wonderful poetry books and a couple of my books, Gigolo to Jesus, A Man in Transition, for like $10, I believe it is. Yes, I can't say I believe it is. I know it is. It's $10. As well as you can get the hard copy of From Gigolo to Jesus for $13. I have about four of those left, and we're about to maybe make a deal to get our hands on some more of the hard copies if people want them. But I can say this, and I'm going to say this. You know, I'm a little tired of having to keep asking people to support independent businessmen and women. Folks, you know that there are independent men and women out here who own their own businesses. The only way for them to thrive is by your support. You run out to a McDonald's and you complain about the price of a Big Mac and not getting enough, but yet you keep paying $5, $6, $7 for a burger where you could actually find an independent chef who could probably make you more for less. Clothes, the same things. And books, the same things. We always complain that there's not enough for our children to read, but yet there's so many, I mean so many independent authors who are looking to get their books in the hands of readers. And some of these books are done with quality. Now, don't get me wrong. There's trash out there. And there's things out there that should be written. But like anything else, if you buy it and don't like it, don't buy it again. Because Tiff and I work very hard at promoting what we do. Now, I'm going to run down some of our sites so you can catch up with what we're doing. If you want to learn about Baby Belvin, if you want to learn about the baby, go to Making Marriage Cool Again on Facebook. That is our Facebook page. If you've missed any of our shows, welcome to the music. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
If you missed any of our
shows. You need your background theme music in order to talk?
Like that. I feel like a hero. If you missed any of our past shows, you can go to our blog, which is makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, and listen to our past shows, as well as this show will be up and running on the blog. Also, we have From Gigolo to Jesus, which is my Facebook page. You can get any type of running information on From Gigolo to Jesus. I have things going on. I have plans coming up in 2014 for the re-release of From Gigolo to Jesus. We also have Braven Publishing page, which is Braven Publishing on Facebook. We also have the website, bravenpublishing.com. And I also have my blog, which is klbelvin.blogspot.com. And we hope that you will join all of our sites. And if you want to reach us on Twitter, it is author KL Belvin and Braven Books. And Tiff, your Twitter handle is?
My Twitter handle is T Braxton Belvin. And I gotta step my Twitter game up because
he's on every 4 months. My tweet every 4 months.
It's true. Like, every 4 months I think I tweet something.
Yeah, so yeah, you can join. It probably take a while for you to add you, but I'm on every day, so author KL Belvin. No, I'm not on Instagram because I'm not taking pictures of shoes and burgers and the train and the sun and, you know, the person walking across the street, the dog poop. I'm not doing all that. And so, you know, as we get into the last couple of minutes of the show, I wanted to take the time out to mention those things because we work very hard as independent business owners. We have a baby on the way. And the only way that we can continue to do the things that we do is word of mouth and true support. Now, true support is, yes, I would love for every one of you listening or that is going to listen to this to run out and buy a book. Okay, but tell a friend. Tell a family member to come by and check us out. Tell them to come by and listen to the show. Go back and listen to the archive. Go to Blog Talk Radio. If you want to listen to the show, go to Blog Talk Radio. /DT Palace and listen to the other show that Rich Lavina put on, because this is what it's about. It's about growing with folks who are trying to grow. So just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/GEE/Palace, and you'll see the lineup of shows. There's shows on every night except for Saturday. So find a show that you like. Call in, get to learn them, deal with them, enjoy them, just like you're enjoying us. And every Thursday night, tune in to us. And I want to give a special shout out to my man Faith Walker. And I'm sorry that it took me so long. Brother Faith Walker and I have been friends for quite some time. And he's been making some tremendous moves down there in South Carolina with the Enterprise Media Group. You can actually look them up on Facebook, Enterprise Media Group. He actually has his blog, Enterpraisement. You can actually put enterpraisement.blogspot.com. But I want to give a shout out to my brother Faith Walker for this reason. He has been helping me and pushing me with my growth as a man of God. And I've been listening and I've been taking the necessary steps to grow as a man in the shadow of the Lord. Growing to do the things that's going to make the Lord proud of who I am as a husband, who I am as a man, who I am as an educator, who I am as a businessman, everything. And so my baptismal class is this coming Sunday, and I will have the date of when I'm going to be baptized. And I'll put it out there. If you folks would like to come to church that day to celebrate with me, fine, so be it. Because every person who claims, whatever faith they claim, should put themselves in a position to be as connected to that faith as possible. For me, it's Christianity, and I am trying to make the steps to make myself a better Christian. I don't need you to judge me and say, how can you be a Christian, brother? Let me rock it. If you don't rock with it, that's cool. I'm not forcing my Bible on you, and you ain't got to force whatever it is that you have with you on me. But we can sit down and we can discuss it, because at the end of the day, it's a personal thing. My walk with God is my own personal walk, and it's what I feel I, keyword I, need to do to be closer to the Lord that I claim. And so that's what we want to share with you, because another reason why we wanted to get on the air is we love doing this, and we love helping folks. And I found out something this week. I didn't realize how many people go back to listen to the archives. I talked to a person who said, I've heard your show before, and I like it. And I was like, wow. So I don't have a problem when no one doesn't call in, because I know that there's folks listening. And if you're listening, I only ask this. Share it with a friend. Share it with family. Go back to makingmarriage.blogspot.com and listen to the archive. By listening to that archive, you generate ratings. You generate looks that people have seen. That this way, GQ Palace can take those looks and get those into the hands of other people to say, this is what our show on Thursday is doing. This is what our show on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Friday, on Sunday, two shows on Sunday, two shows on other nights. But by going back and listening to those archives, those hits help the radio station continue to do what it does. It allows Tiff and I to do what we do. So you're helping us and supporting us just by coming back and listening to the show, sharing the links with somebody else. Now, normally, if I'm not too tired tonight, I go back and I put the links out everywhere so folks can check it out. If you're not, you should be on GQ Palace General Question. You should be there, because GQ Palace General Question is the conversation that's going on behind the scenes when the show is on. And it allows you to hear and listen and to get in on the conversation, almost like a form of chat room. So as we get ready to come to the last 5 minutes, you know, I want to say this to my wife while I have her on the line. I want to say, honey, I know things have been rough, but you don't ever have to worry. I got your back. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I'm not going to let anybody hurt you. We're going to get through this like we got through everything else. The Lord is preparing both of us for something greater. And so with all this cloudiness that's been around us, I can't wait to see what the sun's on the other side. So I just want to tell you.
We need a vacation.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't been on vacation since 2008.
Yeah.
So it has been 5 years. But you know what? No time for vacations now. We got to make sure the avocado is growing the way that it's supposed to grow. And get the avocado.
You an avocado.
Well, you told me it's the size of an avocado.
Yeah.
And so get through this memorial. And you know what? We hope that folks show up. Listen, come. We're not paying for this food to look at it. And even if you weren't that cool with Tiff's mom, come to support us. Come to support Tiff. Come just to say, I came because I heard you on the radio and I see the things that you're
doing.
Yeah, come to eat food, man, because I can't bring all that home. I mean, I'm going to try to because the chef is the bomb. But, I mean, come on. I don't want to have to be out on the street selling it. It will be paid for. But come to meet us to let us know that you hear the things that we do. You watch the things that we do. Hey, listen, I might even have some books under the table. I mean, it'd be a little disrespectful trying to put them out to sell them. But I might have some books closed. You want me to sign a couple books for you?
Listen, we still have a business. Let's keep it real. We're going to have a whole host of friends and families that would be there. So,
I have some flyers. That'd be a little tacky. Be like, they trying to sell books at a memorial? Damn right. Yeah.
We're not gonna be book pushers. We're just gonna have the books available if someone would like to purchase them. Speaking of selling books, my cousin actually said she wants two of the books. So you definitely want to have books there because
I believe that when they get the money.
She did. She said, make sure your husband signs them because I want my books when I come. So we definitely will have books on hand.
Yeah, there'll be some books available. Actually, I think I'll bring about – I'm only bringing my books. Listen, I love all the authors that we deal with. I'm getting a little tired of carting their books around and selling them, and they ain't selling them. So I'm going to have my books around Man in Transition, From Gigolo to Jesus, Wordplay 1 and Wordplay 2 will be there if you'd like to purchase any one of them. And we'll be selling everything for $10. I ain't got time trying to figure out the in-between. Unless you want the hard copies of From Gigolo to Jesus, those will be $13. And so we'll have the books there. But definitely come out and definitely share this show. Information is only valuable when it's shared. You cannot hoard things for yourself. To grow as an individual, it is the service and the help that you give to others. This is what Tiff and I are trying to do every day, is helping ourselves grow by the way that we help others. And the more that we learn, the more that we share, the better we can be, and hopefully the better that you'll be. And if you got a mother or father or grandmother or somebody who's overstepping the boundaries, check them. Check them. Don't put your hands up. Don't go to jail. But check them. I mean, me and Tiff just had a long discussion this morning about her grandmother, and I ain't asked her, did she make that call or not, did you?
Actually, I didn't, because I made the decision not to make that call. You didn't see my Facebook post?
Oh, you lied.
I made the decision. Excuse me?
Nothing. We'll talk about it after I read the post.
Anyway, I made the decision not to make that call, and I feel good about it. I'm going to stick by that decision.
Yeah, we're going to talk later. See, you know, you see, I'm glad I brought this up now, because we're going to have a talk later. Are you going to? Anyway. I got like a minute or two left, so I can't really get at you right now. You see how she ain't saying until later. But anyway. All right, listen, if that's a decision, listen. The point I was making is we had the conversation earlier about, you know, and she explained to me why she felt certain things, and I understood that, and I respect that. But, yes, if you got parents or grandparents overstepping their boundaries, check them in a respectful way. And the way that you respect, the way that you check somebody is you simply make sure that they understand where that line is drawn. You know, and I'm reading it now. Yes, I asked you, what did Jesus do? And you know what, folks, we have to have something that grounds us, something that focuses us in on how we should do things, and we should have someone in our life who is able to guide us in a loving way, and that's what your spouse is supposed to do. That's the reason why you can't have grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or cousin or whoever with their nose and booty all in your relationship, because you know what? It's just the two of you, and hopefully the two of you are growing. So with that said, I'm going to end here, and I'm going to say thank you to everyone who took the time out to listen now and listen in the future. God bless you, and I please beg you to come back and listen to what we do every Thursday from 8 to 10. Honey?
Yes, love.
You got 1 minute left. What you want to tell them?
I think you said it all. So all I'm going to say is good night and God bless.
Okay, Russell Simmons. Good night and God bless. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday, God willing. Take care.
Good night.
You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Whatever you do with my baby.
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
life. What you do makes me lose my mind. I just wanna give you, give you make you love to you.
You
put you on a rocket fly. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
I love you too.